Hear the good news from Colossians chapter 2. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all of its legal demands. This, he, that is Jesus, set aside, nailing it to the cross and disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, to made a public spectacle of them by triumphing over them in Jesus Christ. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. You know, it's such a special day, the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Death could not hold him. You know, it's the very reason why we gather on Sundays, is because it's a response to the resurrection, that we understand that it was on a Sunday when he was resurrected from the dead, and that he went, that he ascended to the right hand of the Father, but he lived. He lived, and that's why we gather each Sunday. It's the reason why we call this weekend Easter, because the Latin literally means the beginning. It was the beginning of the Christian church, the beginning of hope, the beginning of the kingdom of God established in the world. The resurrection, it is the principal action that distinguishes Christianity from every other religion in the world, because we believe that our God gave his one and only Son not simply to entertain us, not simply to walk among us, not simply to bring us moralisms, but that so that we would not suffer wrath. Do you know, every religion has some kind of sacrifice. Every religion has issues of law and justice, a code of behavior. But what distinguishes Christianity from the religions of the world is that he who was both judge and jury paid the price of his own demands with his own blood. He who gave the sentence paid the price. He who suffered our death rose from the dead so that he might defeat our enemy. The resurrection, church, this is so important. The resurrection is not just about you and I getting our sins forgiven. The resurrection isn't just about avoiding hell. It is the defining of our faith that makes us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who has risen and come back from the dead to reign and to rule with him forever. You see, sometimes for Christians, it's really easy to forget what a big deal this really is. It's why, since the beginning of the early days of the church, that the church has always stood this day apart from every other to remind us, to tell every generation not to forget what makes Christianity Christianity, is that he not only died a martyr's death. He didn't just simply do something and wave a wand and forgive us of our sins. No, he died that death and he was raised from the dead, conquering sin and death, changing everything and bringing justice and hope and light into the world. You see, while on one hand, one day is no more holy than the other, this day causes us to stop and remember and to consider just how amazing the resurrection is, and to teach others what this day is really all about. You see, our hope and our future is not on some celestial cloud playing harps, you know, in ugly robes. I know that the artist of medieval and Enlightenment Europe painted these pictures for us, but our hope is not on a cloud. Our hope is in the resurrection from the dead. Our hope is that when we will, together with Jesus, reign and rule forever over the new heavens and the new earth, because heaven and earth will be one, because justice will have rolled down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-rolling stream, that we will no longer be separated from Him, that sin and death will no longer have mastery over our bodies. And I can tell you that some days I appreciate that more than others. For that reason, let's take a look at Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told them these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. It's fascinating how Luke tells the story different from the other Gospels. I mean, there's a lot of similarities between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's why we call them the Synoptic Gospels. But there is something unique about what Luke writes. You see, some have even supposed that maybe Luke didn't actually even write this, that maybe somebody years later had written these things, supposing that there was the development of a legend or a myth. It might be easy to speculate from this perspective even today. But you know, even just a few hundred years later, the people of the ancient Near East would have known not to have written the account like this. You see, Luke tells us something in verse 11 that we don't like very much in our modern world, that when the women told them about Jesus' resurrection, the men did not believe them. Now, I know some of the women in here would probably say today, well, nothing's changed. But you see, if this were the stuff of legend and myth, why bother telling us that part of the story at all? Because everyone would know in the ancient Near East that women were not considered credible witnesses, could not be called to the stand to testify on anything. It was considered worthless testimony. She couldn't even defend herself in the case of something like rape or something like that. A man had to defend her. Why would Luke record people that at that day and time were not credible witnesses unless that is just exactly what happened? And why bother telling us that they were not believed? Why didn't the apostles, I mean, if we're fabricating legends, why don't the apostles have this moment of great, tremendous faith and respect? Shouldn't they like be supermen of the faith? You know, you like expect a big A for apostle on their chest or something. And yet, what's recorded for us instead is that they doubt. And then there's Peter. Peter, who is always a man of passion. Peter, who so has poured out his life and then in a moment faltered because he didn't understand and remembers these words, and he runs to go see what is true and what is not. Still doubting. Still not sure what to think. It isn't very flattering, is it? Even the heroes in the Bible, they don't always look so heroic, because it's telling us a story that took place not something that happened a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So the apostles have doubts. These women had doubts. I mean, they went prepared to take care of the body. My wife and I have been talking over the last couple of days, just wondering what was going on in the hearts and minds of those women as they were headed. Did they wonder to themselves? Did they remember anything that he had said? Were they thinking to themselves, what a glorious morning for such a sad and terrible event? I mean, they had so much anticipation, so much expectation that the kingdom of God was going to be announced the day before. Just a couple of days ago, they were expecting for Jesus to proclaim his kingdom and for everyone to bow to King Jesus. And instead, their king was on a cross and he turned everything upside down. But the portrait that Luke paints is one of complete surprise, of confusion, of fear, hiding, uncertainty. It's just completely honest, isn't it? And then as we read it, if we hadn't read the account before, if this is your first time to hear it, you may be thinking the same thing that those first readers would have said. Where did the body go? And who are these dazzling people in a dazzling apparel? You know, I mean, does that just mean they're great dressers? Does it mean, I mean, what does that mean? There's these people in dazzling apparel. Why does everyone marvel at what has happened? Why didn't they see this coming? I mean, never mind that Jesus spoke of his resurrection in the Gospel of Luke some 9 times before it happened. That's just the number of times that Luke records it. There are other records that would give us the indication that he said it many more times. You see, the disciples are still not expecting the resurrection. Yes, they believed in the resurrection of the dead, much the way we do in the church today. We talk about it in great theory. We come together on Easter Sunday and we mention it. It's in the air, it's discussed, but and yet the real sense is, do we have an expectation that we will one day also be raised with him in triumph? You see, they had seen Jesus raise the dead. But now the one who was raising the dead was dead. Who would speak on his behalf? I mean, we are locked into a mindset, aren't we, of how would that happen? I mean, like there's no one to lay hands on Jesus, right? I mean, and they just watched him be crucified. They watched his body torn to shreds. When Jesus raised the dead, he was very much alive. There was a sense of anticipation in the air. What is he going to do? But they have suffered terrible loss. How can a dead man raise himself? The resurrection from the dead. We know it's coming. And yet those images from those 16th and 17th century painters have spiritualized our understanding, where the resurrection becomes spirits and angels playing harps and on clouds, and there's no sense of real resurrection. It's just spiritualized. Where even as we long and wait for the day in which he will return, that at times we just speak of heaven and never of a new earth, never of triumph, never of overcoming, never of justice being a good thing. Few imagine the resurrection from the dead and beginning a new life of ruling and reigning with him, of enjoying all that he ever intended in the first creation and so much more. Listen to the words of the angel. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Isn't that what we do sometimes? Just kind of treating Christianity is a hope in something that maybe happened long ago. Maybe we moralize it and we become the best of morality. We become the moralizers of society. We come with this idea that we're going to help improve people, that we're doing life improvement and home improvement and social improvement, but with no expectation that He who is coming will turn everything upside down, that everything that we've hoped for, everything that He promises, no pain, no suffering. The imagery of Revelation of the child, or of Isaiah, of a child playing in that snake hole with no fear, of lion and lamb laying down next to one another. You see, that's the resurrection. That is the new creation. It's the anticipation that He turns everything upside down. And all that we hope for, eternal life, doesn't begin with something boring like sitting on a cloud, but begins with this grand adventure that you and I would live and reign with Him forever, and that His will would be done perfectly over the earth. And that's why there's no more tears and no more fear. That's why there's no more injustice. And that we would live together in perfect peace and harmony, that God's will would be done there. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus Christ is alive. Not just in some kind of spiritual way, not just Him raised from the dead and then ascending into heaven and disappearing forever. No, today we celebrate the first of many, the first of the resurrection, the first born from the dead. But we long for that day when all the dead in Christ will arise, and we will meet Him in the sky, and we will come back together in triumph over the earth. Jesus is not the Jesus of the dead. He is the Jesus of the living. And that is what we come to celebrate today. Can I ask the communion team if you go ahead and come on up? Let me invite you to stand. You know, the Apostle Paul said this, that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we don't just simply remember Jesus' death, but His resurrection. And by doing so, that our actions proclaim His return. That we have this anticipation that He has not left us on our own, but that He's coming back for us. It's a celebration of victory. It's a time for us to not only just remember as in the past, but a time for us to respond to Him, to declare to those around us, to encourage one another, to have a sense that we are engaged in communion, not just with one another, but with the living Christ. With the church in the past and the church in the future, the church yet to come, because He is King of all. His church is alive throughout all the ages. If you come today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's okay. You can be an observer in this moment. We won't judge you. But can I invite you to make a proclamation? You see, as believers come down here to get these elements, to grab the bread, to grab the cup, to be reminded of His body and His blood that was broken and shed for us, we do so to say that we believe that He is our Lord and Savior, that He is coming back for us. And maybe today is the day that you also cross that line, that you would name Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you would say, I come not only with the anticipation that you will forgive me of my sins and add me to your kingdom, but that you would become Lord of my life. So maybe you come to this table to partake for the very first time and say yes to Jesus, yes to his lordship, yes to following him. Maybe you come to this table once again to remind yourself and to remind each other. Well, let me invite you to come to get the elements and then bring them back to your seat and we'll partake of them together. Let me invite you to go ahead and come. raise the bread and say with me, Jesus, your body broken for me, I remember. And your blood that is the new covenant in the forgiveness of my sins. Father, we are here today before all heaven and earth, reminded that you indeed are the living God who raised your Son from the dead, who lives and reigns with you forever. And today we commit ourselves to live the life that you live, to give ourselves with only one regret, that we have only one life to give, and longing for your return and for the final establishment of your kingdom. We eat of this bread and drink of this fruit of the vine, waiting in anticipation of your soon return. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me invite the prayer team to go ahead and come on up. Let me invite you to stand. So let me say to those of you this morning that maybe you took communion for the very first time, could I invite you to come up and to meet with one of our prayer team members? They'd love to visit with you, to talk to you about what next steps look like in your journey of faith, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We'd love to invite you to do that. Maybe you have some other prayer this morning, that things that you came with heavy burdens on your heart, things that are weighing you down, things that are troubling you. Maybe you did come this morning in hopes that God would be your rescue. I just invite you to come and to get some prayer, that you wouldn't just simply turn around and do our Easter thing and go back and eat dinner, but that you would say to someone today, will you pray with me? I need the help of the living God. I urgently need His rescue. Let me invite you to come for prayer. And if today you're just full of the joy of the Spirit of God, and there's nothing weighing your heart down, that you've been walking with Christ for a long time, can I just invite you to go out and be the hands and the feet of Jesus this week, that the Easter celebration would not simply end with the end of a service or the end of a family meal, but the celebration of the resurrection would be that you would be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community all week long, forevermore, until He returns. God bless you. Have a great week. Happy Easter.